appropriate, I think, that we should play a Beatles song for you. And the you I'm talking about is Dr. Ian Dunbar. I don't know that you know his name or not, but if you're a dog trainer, you do. He is the dog trainer who trains dog trainers who train dog trainers who train dog trainers. He is at the very top of the mountain. You know, people talk about the dog whisperer, and that's a guy who they know that name, you know. This is the guy who really whispers to dogs and has been doing it for many, many years. Puppy classes. We take them for granted. I suppose someone else might have come along and have done the same thing, Ian, but you did. So on behalf of all the dogs in America, thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, you've made a tremendous difference for dogs.
I think the world's a better place for dogs now. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, so you're talking, as it happens, down the street at the Anti-Cruelty Society of Chicago. You're giving an all-day seminar, and first of all, two words, thank you for coming here. This is your lunch break after as an all-day thing, and you're talking, the title was something about dominance, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the dominance myth. It's so easy for people to say, oh, the dog's dominating me, and then that's used as an excuse to actually physically dominate the dog. So I'm looking more objectively or scientifically at why do dogs become fearful? Why do they fight with other dogs? Why do they become aggressive towards people? Why do they end up in shelters? And essentially they end up in shelters because no one tells pet owners, you've got to do a lot with the dog before you get him at 8 weeks and then afterwards.
Yep. So the director of Chicago's Animal Shelter, Animal Care and Control, Sandra Alford, met you for the first time in the studio.
Yeah.
And what did she tell you? Well, you hear this all the time.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why dogs are in shelters, I mean, it's no mystery. I tell everyone when you look at a shelter dog and he doesn't have a home, he was a puppy probably less than a year ago. This is how quickly it's going wrong. And you know, we can't just blame dog owners for this because no one tells them. They think that if they get a puppy from a breeder, say, that's all they have to do. No. You got to ask the breeder, have you socialized it? Has it seen 100 people, especially men and children? Mm-hmm. Have you trained it to at least come, sit, lie down, and roll over? Have you house trained it? Have you chew toy trained it? If not, they get this puppy home at 8 weeks. First thing he does is pee and poop everywhere. Then he chews stuff. And then he starts to become fearful of people. The pet store owners, the vet profession, don't tell people, you got to socialize this dog. And you do it safely at home. You don't have to take the dog to the park. You know, but outdoor shoes should remain outside because that's how we track round parvo and distemper. But you invite people to your home to handle the puppy. The sad thing is, the easiest thing in the world.
And you begin doing that when they're a year old.
Oh, you do it way before that. Yes. Way before that. And
at what age?
The dog. Oh, you do it start when the neonates. When they're 2 weeks old, because they're easy to handle then when they're 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and this should all be done in the breeding kennel, but it's not being done, and then between 8 weeks and 12 weeks, and by then you've produced a dog that is going to grow up to be bomb-proof, and that's wonderful when you have a dog that's friendly with people.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, the organizations, the trained service dogs, they know this, they do this, and the thing that you're talking about, I suspect, is we can all do this with all of our dogs if we get them early enough. Thing is that we often don't. We go to shelters, we don't know then for sure what we're getting, or we go to a breeder who maybe hasn't done this work that you're talking about. So I want to ask what we can do at that point. But first, you are here, and I would be selfish if I didn't let everybody talk to you. Our telephone number is 312-981-7200, or you can text us 24720. There isn't a thing this man doesn't know about dog training. Probably a question that he hasn't heard before. See if you can come up with one.
Oh, there'll be some things.
Our telephone number is 312-981-7200 for Dr. Ian Dunbar, the one, the only. I mean, does it bother you that you are the guy? And anyone who's in dog training knows that. You're the one who began this organization called the Association of Pet Dog Trainers. That's the professional organization of dog trainers. You said years ago, well, this is a professional business, and we ought to get continuing education and all these things and be professional. I mean, you're the one who's done so much in the world of dog. Now, dog trainers know that. You've been on television. You've done tons of radio with me, all the first time in this studio. Does it kind of bother you that you don't get that publicity and it might happen 50 years from now?
No, I mean, I was on, I mean, TV is everything, and my TV program was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But
and in TV, it's, you know, here today, gone tomorrow.
Very happy the way things are going. I just thought it'd be neat to start things like puppy training, training dogs with food and toys and games and making training fun, above all, making it quick and easy. Mm-hmm. It's really the trainers out there and the shelter workers out there that are doing all the work and taking these principles and getting on with it. I mean, I actually don't do much anymore. I like to lecture lots.
Oh, you do, all over the world, as you are in Chicago. Let's take some phone calls. Susan, you're on WGN Radio. Welcome. Susan? Whoa, Susan. Susan!
Hi, how are you?
Well, there you are. We're okay. What's your question?
Hi, doctor. I have a 5-year-old yellow Labrador retriever. I've had her since she's been about 8 weeks old. She will only get in my car. She will not go and get in anyone else's car. So it's become a safety issue, so if I want her to get in my boyfriend's car or my parents' car, she will not ride with anybody else except me. How do I stop that behavior so she'll go with anyone?
Well, the first thing is, as with most doggy, you know, behavior training problems, very difficult to fix in the course of everyday living. So, you know, if you want to get in your boyfriend's car and go out for a date, that's not the time to do the training because you're all rushed. So I would start off with you and the dog getting in your boyfriend's car. So you take plenty of time. You don't have to go anywhere. Take the newspaper, get the Tribune and read it. So, you know, you can spend some time. Sit in the car. Don't pull the dog ever. Have some treats. Try and lure the dog in. Once the dog comes in, hand feed the dog. And then we'd have a new rule that the only place that you get to eat is in the cars of, like, your boyfriend and, you know, close friends and family and what have you. So you weigh out the kibble in the morning and you keep it in a little, you know, container. Go in the car with it. Spend time. And, you know, often we don't know why these things have developed. And often it's irrelevant. The most important thing is let's change this now and teach the dog that other cars are okay. And that's where it takes time, and you mustn't rush the dog. Otherwise, the problem will get worse.
Hope that helps you a bit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. You know what's happening, Dr. Dunbar, at 2:30? The Chicago Cubs play. They play the Milwaukee Brewers, I believe, today. Let's make sure that I'm right here. Yes, the Milwaukee Brewers. And the first pitch is actually 3:05. The pregame is at 2:30. With Judd Surratt. You knew that, of course.
I absolutely did, yeah.
Yes,
I'm up on baseball.
Yes, you are.
Especially when you're in someone's hometown.
Is it cricket or baseball?
Cricket. Cricket's
yes, of
my
course.
Favorite game.
Yeah, I figured, yes.
And then soccer, of course.
Yes, yes. Or football.
Well, we call it football.
Yeah, I thought so.
You folks call it soccer.
And we have many more phone calls for Dr. Dunbar, some text as well. We will get to them right here at 720 WGN. So don't move. Sit. Stay. Pets are an important part of your family. Dr. Ian Dunbar knows that as much as anyone else on the planet. So what do you do when they get sick? You want the best care for them. Chicago Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Center, celebrating their anniversary, I think this weekend. They provide state-of-the-art care when your pet needs it most. Your veterinarian's trusted partner, that's who they are. Chicago Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Center. They're 3123 North Clybourne. They're open 24/7. In addition to emergency care, there's advanced medicine with board-certified veterinarians in 9 specialties. I mean, who knew? I mean, when you first became a veterinarian 2 years ago? A few years ago?
Yeah.
9 specialties, yeah. Board-certified. That's pretty incredible.
It's amazing.
I mean, who would have thought veterinary oncologist and neurologist and ophthalmologist? And those are just some of the specialties at Chicago Pet Emergency at chicagopetemergency.com, 773-281-7110. And guys, you just had Ian Dunbar in your commercial. I mean, that's an honor. Steve Dale's Pet World, 720 WGN. You don't do radio shows like this one, do you, very often?
I don't do much radio now.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know why. You've got the voice for it.
I'm everywhere, that's why.
Yeah, you are. You actually are. Let's see, I'm trying to go in order here, and it is this line that I actually wanted first. Jimmy, you have a question about a jumping puppy. Welcome to WGN. Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy?
Yeah, it's a male standard poodle, about 4 months old, and when people come in the house, it's always jumping on them.
Okay.
Okay.
They seem to break them into habit.
All right. Well, don't look on it as breaking him of the habit. Let's teach him how you would like him to greet people at the front door. And probably the best way to do that is to teach him to sit. And the problem is he's so excited when people come. Why? Because people are coming and he's excited and he's a standard poodle. I mean, this is no surprise.
Is that one of those things, though, where you're talking about the dominance myth today in part? Where people will say, my dog is jumping on him. My dog is fill in the blank, and my dog is being dominant. I'm not sure Jimmy is saying that. I understand that, Jimmy. However, do you hear that often?
I was just going to go in that direction, Steve, that I like this problem because it's such a sweet little dog who's just greeting people enthusiastically. But if you read dog books, if you go to Barnes & Noble and pull them out, what is suggested you do is horrible to jumping dogs. Hold their paws, squeeze their paws, squirt them in the face with water, lemon juice, ammonia, knee them in the chest, stamp on their hind feet, flip them over backwards, alpha roll over them. And what's the dog's crime? Because, you know, he used to jump up when he was a little puppy and we used to pet him then. His only crime is he grew. So anyway, here's what I would do. Cut to the chase. I would get a bunch of people to come round on a Saturday so you know they're coming. So, and you have the time to train them. It's not like you're dealing with the UPS man and you have to hurry. So ding, ding, someone's at the front door. You now do your best to get your dog to sit. And you practice when no one's at the front door. So your dog knows how to sit at the front door. And then you've done it with the front door open, with your dog on leash there. Then you've done it while you're ringing the doorbell. So the dog has got used to doing it. Now here comes the first person. Have your dog sit. Won't be pretty the first time, but eventually he will sit. And then the guest gives him a treat. Then you ask the guest, could you leave and come back again? And they keep leaving and come back again until the dog greets them perfectly. Then comes the second person, then the third. After 10 people have done, say, 15, you know, re-entries, that's 150 greetings in less than an hour. Now your dog's got it. Like, oh, I got it. If I sit, they will give me treats. End of problem.
Okay.
All right. If it doesn't work, call me back next week. And blame Dr. Dunbar. But you know what? It'll work.
It'll work.
Or your money
It'll
back.
Work. You have fun with your poodle.
Yeah, really. Thank you. Next call is Linda. Welcome to the show. You're on WGN.
Hey, good afternoon. Doctor, we have a wonderful, small, 9-pound dog we got from a shelter. She's wonderful in all ways except for when we take her for a walk. She goes crazy because she wants to greet the other dogs and play with other dogs. Some people will let you know, the dogs see each other. She's better than when we got her. She went absolutely bonkers. But she still has the habit. I kind of tried everything.
So, again, it's another lovely problem because it's just a dog being enthusiastic. However, that type of behavior could get your dog in trouble if he runs up and enthusiastically greets the wrong dog. Most people approach is, you know, a lot of people say, you know, break the dog of the habit. We've got to stop him, correct him for doing this. No, I would just teach the dog how to greet other dogs. Again, I would do a setup like the last caller. I would get 10 friends of yours that have dogs to meet outside your house, and they walk round your block counterclockwise. You're going to walk round clockwise. And so you space the people out, so you're going to meet a person with a dog every 35 yards. The difference is they know what's going on. They're friends of yours. So they meet. They know what to do. They mustn't let their dog touch yours, and you mustn't let your dog touch theirs. You get your dog to sit. As soon as your dog sits, you say, good dog, say hello. And so you're using the greeting as a reward for sitting. You then walk on to the next dog, the next dog, the next dog. By about the third lap, the dog's getting it down because now it knows all these dogs. So now you're asking it to sit and stay for a while. And then you say, you're a good dog. Okay, say hello. And this enables you then, once you've trained the dog, once you've done 10 laps, I mean, your dog's just brilliant at this. But now should you meet a dog for real and you think, oh, that dog doesn't look friendly, you ask your dog to sit. It sits obediently, but this time you don't say hello. because you don't want your dog to. So again, what we got to do is we teach the dog what to do, to sit. Sit's the solution to most problems, you know, with dogs and children. But then we troubleshoot it. We repeatedly expose the dog to the same stimulus that excites it and sends it over the top, like a visitor at the front door or greeting a dog or a person on the street. And we repeat it over and over with the same stimulus till the dog gets it. Then the dog will get it.
Is it okay to reward?
Pardon?
With a treat?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but much better than that. Reward with your voice. I mean, you know, say sit. And when your dog sits, say, oh, you are just mummy's most perfect dog in the world. Look at you. You're sitting and waiting patiently and obediently to say hello. You're a very good dog. Give food treats if you like. Pet the dog if you like. French kiss the dog if you like. You know, whatever works.
Hold it. Now we're going a little too far there, Dr. Dunbar. Let's try to sneak in Carol if we can. Carol?
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Yes, great. Thank you for taking my call. This is a great treat to talk to you. We adopted a dog a few months ago, a Bichon, and he was a stray. We're not sure what his background was. We put him through puppy school. And what we noticed is when another dog, and usually a bigger dog, would pay attention to him, he would go into a zone and want to lunge for that dog. And we have that problem in our backyard. We have a German Shepherd next door. And between the fence, as soon as the two dogs know that the other one is out, my dog goes into a zone and he's not motivated by food or voice or anything. And he just lunges at the fence and wants to get at that dog.
Well, basically, you want me to give today's 8-hour-long lecture in 2 minutes, which, of course, I can't do. But number one, always go out with your dog. Never put your dog in a backyard if he's a fence chaser or has barrier problems. Basic obedience. He needs to know what sit means. He needs to know what down means. And this means not just in the kitchen when you have treats, but everywhere. So when you walk him, every 25 yards, stop and ask him to sit. Then he will learn to sit, that sit means sit in many different situations. Next tip, work with dogs that you know that he doesn't react to. So you want to do easier things first. So
Without the fence there, I assume.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And work with dogs where he's friendly, he's on leash, and then we build it up bit by bit so that eventually he will listen to you when he's like with his nemesis or a fence is separating the two of them. It's like too many people try and work with the dog in what I call the worst possible training scenario, like 3 a.m. and the dog's fence fighting, you know, with his arch nemesis at home. So we do it in steps. So working from the easiest possible scenario, get the obedience without dogs there first. Then get obedience when he can see dogs. Like go to a dog park, but don't go in. Work 100 yards from the park and then 70 yards and 50 yards till you're working right the other side of the fence and your dog is sitting and we build it up so that now it's going to work in those really impossible to train situations. But the zone that he goes into is not some, you know, weird physiological space. The zone he goes into is a zone of a situation where I've never been trained.
Now, if you'd like more, and by the way, thank you very much, Carol. If you would like more Ian Dunbar, you can get it by simply going to the web.
Yeah, dogstardaily.com, and you can download free books, and you can watch hundreds of videos and listen to audio.
I don't want to go by that too fast. You said free books.
Yeah, you can download free books before
free
you
books.
Get your puppy and after you get your puppy. That when I wrote these two books, I actually said, you know, I don't feel good about selling them because the information's so important to prevent what happens to puppies, to prevent puppies from going to shelters. So I was chatting to my son and my wife, and they both said, well, let's give them away.
And that's exactly
and
what
that's
he does.
That's what we do.
Yeah, dogstardaily.com, right?
Yep.
You can't imagine how thrilled I am to have you in the studio. You know, we get the best on this show. You are the best.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate it. Now I've got to literally run back to the seminar. I'm in my lunch hour, and it starts in precisely 15 minutes.
Oh, go, 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 go. And I've got to tell you about Pet Supplies Plus. I don't want you to miss their grand opening of their Lake in the Hills location. That is September 11th through the 15th. There'll be 15% off everything and free self-service dog washes all weekend. In fact, Dr. Dunbar might be there to wash the dogs himself. Plus, chances to win bags of food and 1 year supply of Nutro dog or cat food. The first 75 neighbors on Friday get a free gift card worth up to $100. Come to Pet Supplies Plus, located on the corner of Randall and Algonquin Road in Lake in the Hills.